This is Bold Statements with your host, Harry Montalvo, and
Nick Oschlack.
And I'm Lo Capan.
All right, let's get started on tonight's topics. We've got, let's not wait to bring up a recurring topic, but let's get on our Caitlyn Jenner topic for the night.
Ugh.
Oh, goodness.
The man beast returns once again.
She's a she. She's not a man
beast. The she beast returns once again.
She. There's no beast after the she.
There's a lot of beast.
All right. Well, anyways.
Oh, well.
The Kardashians and the Jenner women were featured on Cosmopolitan magazine.
Cosmopolitan.
Okay. Yes. But Caitlyn Jenner was not there. Does she not count as a female of the Jenner or Kardashian family?
Well, first, let me ask you this. Do you know offhand, because I don't really know offhand, has there been a male cover before?
For Cosmopolitan?
Yes.
I wouldn't know that fact off the top of my head.
Well,
I'm sure if there had been a male version of the cover, would that matter, though? Because Caitlyn Jenner is no longer...
Well, if you're featuring the Jenner and Kardashian females.
Right, and she's now
She is legally a female.
But in our hearts, is she legally a female?
It doesn't matter.
Caitlyn Jenner in our hearts is
Bruce
legally a female.
Bruce is an Olympic
female.
Hero.
Is Bruce legally a female? Obviously not. But Caitlyn Jenner is a female, and legally in the state of California, that is who she is.
But just going off this topic of the Cosmo cover, I don't see how she's even closely relevant to this. Because
well,
honestly,
because she's part of the Kardashian-Jenner clan. Like, without Caitlyn Jenner, without Bruce Jenner, there's no Kylie, there's no Kendall. And, you know, Kylie and Kendall are all, like, up in arms because Kim, all she is now, is a baby-making machine.
I like to tap that Kendall and Kylie. Show a real good night.
Especially the one that just turned 18.
That's what I'm saying. High five.
Okay, basically,
all right.
Look, I think Bruce, a.k.a. the Man Beast, Caitlyn Jenner.
She, Caitlyn Jenner.
A.k.a. the Caitlyn Jenner.
No.
Man Beast.
Nick Goschlack, you have a problem.
Look,
you have a problem.
My problem is Caitlyn Jenner. My problem is every time I look at the news, it's a Caitlyn Jenner story, and I am completely tired of hearing this Man Beast fucking chronicles.
It's a she.
It's a
she
man.
She is not a Man Beast.
She is from Narnia.
I will not put up with this nonsense.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, but honestly, my point being is, I think Caitlyn Jenner on its own Man Beast merit is its own icon. I think the Kardashians and even the Jenners in some sort of capacity are their own icon. I don't think Caitlyn can even remotely come close to. They're two different entities.
But if they're going to include all the women of the Kardashians and the Jenner, why not have Caitlyn Jenner if she's legally a female?
Because legally, we all know him as Bruce Jenner, and it's not going to change.
But at the end of the day, though, the Kardashian Jenners are the, you know, like Kim, Khloe, Kourtney, Kris, Kylie, Kendall, and now Caitlyn.
Okay. If you're as a female, you see Caitlyn Jenner in a bar, you're a lesbian, okay? Let's throw that out there. Okay,
all
hypothetically
right.
Speaking, if you will. Would you accept being hit on by Caitlyn Jenner, or would you hit on it? How do you feel in that situation? What would you do in those situations?
Well,
how are you feeling?
You know, in that situation of having a, you know, a transgendered person hitting on you, it would be the same as if anybody were hit on you. It would be you know, depending on the person, it's either uncomfortable or you're interested in it. But the majority of the time, you're going to be uncomfortable with someone hitting on you regardless.
I agree.
So if it's a male that's now a female, if it's a dude, if it's a girl, no matter what, I'm going to be like,
If you were a lesbian, would you be shocked to find out later that night if you actually got things going with Caitlyn that, oh my god, the Man Beast has a ball sack? Would you be offended? Would you be startled?
I would definitely be startled. As a lesbian, obviously, I would not
want
a ball sack
in your face if you're like digging on
a carpet. As a lesbian, I would not be into the ball sack. But like, you know, with someone like Caitlyn Jenner, unfortunately, she does not have the luxury of She's now a she.
It's a man beast, and we're going to keep
it. She is a she.
It is a
Nick
she.
Nick Oshelak says it's a he.
Well, Harry Montalvo says
it is not. The state of California's Census Bureau.
Well, the state of Nick Oshelak says if you still have
a
penis,
has a white female.
You're a male.
All right, all right, all right. Before this gets any more heated, obviously the Kardashians and the Jenners take a lot of the spotlight. Let's go over someone who used to have some spotlight, Stephon Marbury. So, Stephon Marbury...
You mean the former face of the Knicks, the New York Knicks?
Yes, in the early 2000s. Well, he's re-releasing his shoe line, Starberry.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, as we can remember about Starberry.
Where
about,
do I pre-order?
I don't know.
Is it a
Starberry?
Starberry.com?
Stephen Berry.
Assumption?
Well, the original shoe was sold at Stephen Berry's, and they went bankrupt in the economy collapse in 2008.
So, we looking at a Payless, a Walmart?
I would probably guess a Kmart if they're still
but
around.
But Kmarts aren't still around, so my guess would be...
Walmart?
Like, department stores, Dillard's.
Walmart. I'd
Walmart?
Say Walmart.
My question is to you, following his abysmal basketball career, as well as obviously a merchandising
standpoint. I mean, he had
standpoint.
A few good seasons.
Can you, as a basketball fan, as I know you're a basketball fan, can you list me personal stats from his seasons?
I mean, he probably averaged like 20 points a game.
So basically what you're saying is he wasn't good enough to remember his stats from.
I mean,
okay, so basically what you're saying is a very
obviously
mediocre player.
Obviously he was good enough to have
I mean,
a,
he was,
have a
he was a
sneaker.
Good player. He's like a, he's a popcorn flick in the NBA. He's not going to be
give
a
me some more examples of a hashtag popcorn flick NBA player.
But Michael Redd. Michael Redd.
Michael Redd.
Yeah.
Keith Bogans.
Yes. No, Keith Bogans wasn't even a
oh, come on. Give
flick.
Me that.
No. Michael Redd. Gilbert Arenas was
Gilbert
a
Arenas.
Flick.
Agent Zero.
You know, like, oh, they're all flash, but they don't have any substance, you know? Like.
True. Would you consider Dwight Howard at this point of his career a flash popcorn player?
He never lived up to his potential.
But
he was supposed to be this great center, but he never reached the heights of Shaquille O'Neal or Hakeem Olajuwon.
Not even close, point-wise
yeah.
and rebound-wise. He
I
only
mean,
had, like, what,
he never worked
seasons?
On his offensive game. He was all power and brute, but he wasn't skill.
Yeah, Lauren, as a female, what do you think about all this sports talk?
I have no idea.
I respect that.
I'm going to be honest with you. You speak these names, and I have no... fucking clue.
So you don't know who Michael Redd is?
No, I have never heard
so
that name. Of
not
all the
a lot
names
of people
said,
do.
I knew.
Michael Redd really getting the trash.
What tonight. Other names did you say? I don't even know who Starberry is.
All right, name your all right.
Starberry.
Starberry.
As
I have no
Marbury.
Clue. I've never
as a female,
even heard of.
Knowing basketball as much as you do, the limited knowledge that you have. Maybe your top five NBA players, and let's break it down as she names her top five.
All right, let's say this. Top five.
No particular.
Okay.
One.
To be honest with you, it's going to be the top five I know.
Okay.
Fine.
Let's go.
Turkoglu. Was it?
Turkoglu.
Was it? That was
hashtag
from Orlando, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the guy from the Magic.
Pedo okay. Turkoglu, not Turkoglu.
Pedo Turkoglu.
Oh.
But I will accept Turkoglu on the grounds that the Orlando Magic had a Turkoglu night where they handed out, like, school-size glue sticks with Hedo's face on it.
That's
all right,
true.
There you
it
go.
Is true.
So
I will give you
that.
Pedo Turkoglu.
The Magic guy? Someone Magic?
The
Magic Johnson.
Magic
Johnson.
He got AIDS.
He has
AIDS. HIV.
He got AIDS, but
he
stayed positive.
He's alive,
wink,
he?
Wink. And he's been able to maintain a healthy lifestyle.
So then there's Dwight Howard.
Oh, there we go.
It was just mentioned, but I'll give you that one.
Okay.
He was just mentioned as overrated.
I didn't even.
Right.
I was zoning out.
That shows you a limited range of basketball.
Yes. Shaquille O'Neal and Magic Johnson.
So Magic Johnson not only once appears on your list,
but
twice.
Wait, I said
he was that pivotal on your life that you had to include him twice in your top five.
Okay, Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Jordan.
Oh, there,
right, there
we
go.
Finally
we
get the greatest player of all time.
We have Michael Jordan finally entering the list.
Yes, as fifth, no less. Fifth.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you.
Welcome to
the
Space Jam.
All right. Sporting, I would probably know just as many... I probably know more basketball players than football players. Does that say something?
Well,
all right. Name your favorite quarterback of all time. Just for curiosity, since you brought up football, I like to see where your knowledge level's at in sports.
Is Tim Tebow a quarterback?
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Hashtag Tebow time. Let's get that done.
Tim Tebow becoming relevant again on
Who would have thought on some small podcast in Orlando Tim Tebow would stay relevant?
All right, but back on Michael Jordan, since he was popular in the 90s, let's go back to a franchise that was popular in the 90s. The Terminator.
Oh, geez.
So have you heard the latest, what's going on with The Terminator?
Well, after the first three, which were great films. Great
I respect films. Three. I know there's a lot of hate to three, but I love three.
I love three, too. Three
is an excellent film. The ending makes up for it.
Salvation and this newest one. I don't even know what it's called. Genesis?
Something? Genesis. Terminator Genesis.
Salvation and Genesis were the most sellout movies I think I've ever encountered in my life. They took a name off a franchise that made such an impact on people, not only in their like minds but financially too. Mm-hmm. And you milk it for everything it's got, and you make these terrible choices. It's over after three, and even after two, I think it was a good case could be made. It's over.
Oh yeah, because three wasn't perfect. It had its flaws, but the ending made up for it.
Oh, the ending of three was.
But the thing with Terminator is, it was always about character over action scenes. But the sequels have forgotten that. Like Genesis and Salvation, it's just been action, 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 and that's not what Terminator
was. Your thoughts on Christian Bale taking over the John Connor role?
Awful. He was terrible.
So, who would you rather have? The guy who was in Terminator 3?
Nick Stahl, for sure, from Terminator 3, because John Connor wasn't the beefcake, bronze type.
He carried a lot over from Batman, I feel like, into Salvation.
Yes, he
was very, like,
the quiet. Nick Stahl actually carried over the boyish, naive innocence of John Connor that was in 2, and I felt that worked really well. And it went well with the ending, with you can't actually stop Judgment Day, you can only survive it. And that blew my mind, because for the first time, and it hasn't actually been repeated since 2003 with Terminator 3, we got a big budget Hollywood movie that ended with the good guys losing, and we haven't seen that since.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much the entire synopsis of Terminator up until that point, until Terminator 3, was stopping Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. And then
they realized
it wasn't stopping, it was surviving.
That blew my mind. Great ending.
So we get to Salvation. I remember clearly a personal story here where Harry blew me off to go see Salvation.
No.
With some other loser kid back in the day. And I had to go see it with a kid named Tyler Cole. Tyler Cole getting a shout out on Bold Statement.
Oh, Tyler.
But I remember me and Tyler going to see the movie in protest of you seeing it with your shitty other friend.
Oh, don't call him a shitty friend. He was a good friend at the time.
At the time, hashtag. But anyway, yeah, so...
Anyways, let's get
your thoughts on Salvation. What did you think of Salvation and...
Salvation, it sucked. I mean, let's move on to the fact... Let's look at where the Terminator franchise is going.
Well,
the
I haven't seen Genesis.
I haven't seen any of them.
It didn't make money in the U.S., but it made a
lot... I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen any of them.
It's probably your best bet not
You've seen the first one. I showed you the first one.
The first Terminator?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, under some... substances, I saw the first Terminator.
So, hashtag you were drunk.
Yeah, hashtag I was drunk and I didn't really want to see
All right.
One.
Well, Terminator...
Inebriated.
And I've seen Genesis a few of them, like, through TV.
Okay.
The Terminator Genesis sequels have not been canceled. Even though the film made less than $100 million in the U.S., it made $350 million internationally. So, international audiences, do they just go for anything with special effects nowadays?
I think that's more or less... exactly what they go for.
Yeah. They only go for 3D and special effects.
You can tell.
It's a shame.
You can tell, like, with these movies like Avengers, Age of Ultron, all these superhero movies. It's more or less, they want these big explosions. They want they want to see the effects, I think. But that goes to show you the level of the audience.
They also
want
to see it set in other countries.
Yeah, well, they want to see more.
Well, and the fact that.
Diverse.
You know, fighting is universal. You're going to understand a fight scene no matter where
That's
it's
true.
Set.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to understand a fight scene in the middle of Antarctica. And you're going to understand a fight sitting in the middle of the ocean, you know?
Transformers Age of Extinction made its least amount of money in the U.S., but in China it was record-breaking because they set the third act in
China. That's why we're going to have, like, another three Transformers movies over the next 10 years because of all the money, like,
in
it makes overseas. But, yeah, I don't know. I just... I think the audience is, no offense to anybody who listens to this, and even to us to a certain degree, I think we've just dumbed down as an audience, and we don't really take the time to actually appreciate the softer films that don't include CGI.
And the art behind that.
Yeah, we don't appreciate the art. We don't appreciate the screenplays as much as we do anymore. We don't really appreciate anything that's actually original.
Two of the biggest films of the 1990s were Forrest Gump and The Sixth Sense. You wouldn't see that
nowadays. That's what I'm saying. More or less nowadays, it's always a reboot. And it's like, I just am tired of the unnecessariness that is Hollywood.
Well, speaking of reboots, let's go over a little Twilight reboot that's happening.
Okay, I heard a little about this on Twitter today. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did the author, I don't know her name offhand.
Stephanie Meyer.
Oh, I'm so fucking sorry. Basically, she did like a gender swap of the characters.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
She made Beau, who is now Bella, and Edith, who is now Edward, and... Edith is now Edward.
No, Edward is now Edith is the proper grammar.
Well,
I'm going to sit back on this one since they know a lot more about Twilight than I do. And this is a Goshalek speaking.
Show for Beaufort or something like that is now
going to be... I got a Beaufort.
...is now going to be the male protagonist. And
I got a male protagonist in my pants.
Male protagonist, and he is going to be human, and Edith is still a vampire. And Stephanie Meyer has stated that she fixed the grammatical errors that she had in the first Twilight novel, and some of the mythological facts she went through and changed. Basically, she's going to go through and fix all of the relationship problems, essentially, the loopholes where Bella was super obsessed with Edward and making it seem less girls are so needy and always need the man, and that even boys, when they're in love with a girl, they're just as obsessed with girls as girls are obsessed with boys, and it's just that.
So, bottom line of it is, we're getting more Twilight story. So Stephanie Meyer can get some more money in her.
Get some more money.
She's so lazy and untalented that all she's doing is switching the
genders. Well, what she should have done is released the Edward perspective, where, you know, you go to the 50 Shades of Grey thing, where 50 Shades of Grey is essentially a
scoop,
you know, the dirty version of Twilight. And E.L. James went and released Grey, the novel, which is 50 Shades of Grey.
On a side note,
Christian Grey's perspective.
50 Shades of Grey. Look, as a male take on this, I would love to be strapped down and just, like, really taken control of.
You want to be taken control of by the girl? Like,
I want candle wax.
You want to be the submissive.
I want hot candle wax in my asshole.
On another side note,
I want to be gagged. I want to be slapped around like the piece of sexy meat that I am.
All right.
I want a really sexual encounter with a guy named Grant.
At the end of the film, he goes like,
disregard my fantasies.
She asks him, show me the worst you've ever done. And he gives her, like, 6 spankings. Like, is that really the worst that
he's ever done? But it's, like, supposed to be, like, really hard. Like, he, like,
really hard.
Shit out of her ass. Regardless.
All right, but back to Twilight.
Yes, it's officially called... I don't know, but it's got a green apple on the cover.
Did you hear J.K. Rowling is actually going to switch the genders of Hermione Granger and Harry Potter?
Oh! Well, it would have been Hermione Granger and Harry Potter.
And she's that desperate to get back into the spotlight. That's what Stephanie Meyer is doing.
Stephanie Meyer should have released the version of Twilight in Edward's perspective because it would have been great.
I guess her writing because script to wrote, Little Red Riding Hood didn't work out.
She wrote Midnight Sun, which
Gary Oldman.
She wrote Midnight Sun, which was Edward's perspective of Twilight, and it was great, but it was leaked online a few years back, and she didn't release it, and now she's written this... to be honest with you, ridiculous swapped perspective, because... In the grand scheme of things, girl vampires, really?
Like, is with Jacob, a dude? Is Jacob Black changed?
Yeah, is Jacob Black now a girl? Is Jacob now an Indian
girl? I have a better
girl?
Question.
Is
I have a better
Russian?
Question to really
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm still
going to
read
all right,
it.
Let's go.
Who gives a shit?
No, in the grand scheme of things, I'm a fucking Twilight fan, and I'm about to go read it. I don't even care.
Does that mean we're going
to
have another fucking, like, 8-10 movies? Because it's a different
movie. Oh, no, I'm sure not.
Who do we cast
well, they did just
Bella.
Do
Tom Holland.
They did just do Spider-Man. They did just do like online fan versions of movies. Like they had like 4 or 5 fan movies.
Yeah, I definitely masturbated over a few Twilight spoofs, and I've got to say, you know, I tend to finish right when Edward, the guy who's playing Edward, comes on screen. So I don't know what that means for me. There's a lot of questions still unanswered.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm gonna go with it and just see
I mean, I would be. Waiting until Edward came.
Well, to talk about other disgusting things.
Yeah, not my sexuality, which I'm questioning.
Well, have you heard about the Halloween Whopper yet?
You mean
the Black Whopper?
You mean the Black Whopper.
You mean the thing that like you take a crap later on and it's the scariest thing you've ever seen because it's
yeah.
like green?
It's green, yes. People have been reporting that their feces turn green
yes.
after eating the Black Whopper for numerous days.
Well, it's apparently made with A1 sauce, am I right?
What do you mean eating the Black Whopper for numerous days? Like, are these people going out and eating like 6 or 7 Black Whoppers
they'll
at a time?
They'll eat a Black Whopper. They'll eat a Black Whopper and they'll have green poop for numerous days. They'll eat one Black Whopper.
So somehow the chemicals that make up this Halloween Whopper.
Well, let's be fair. There's probably a lot of unnatural ingredients in a black bun.
Well, I when I heard about the A1 thing, I couldn't imagine that was the only thing they're putting in this thing. I can't see.
A1 sauce is brown.
Yeah,
so
I can't see how it's making it completely black.
Right.
So, are they injecting like African American blood into these buns? Or are they
not one bit? I don't know where you'd get that.
We're getting Wesley Snipe blood into these buns.
No,
really, darkness.
They're getting probably A1 sauce and pepper.
Hashtag Wesley Snipe
no,
blood in the Halloween Whopper.
They're
water.
Having a lot of red dye
pepper.
And blue dye
pepper.
And dark
pepper pots.
Dyes.
Pepper
and they're
pots.
They're just throwing a bunch of fucking dyes into these burger buns, and then obviously they're gonna turn your shit green. I mean. It's like icing. When you're icing, the icing is dark purple and your lips turn purple, you're not confused. Obviously, a dark black bun is gonna mess up your bowels.
Is
like,
green.
It makes sense. I mean, it's just like all the weird stuff back in the 90s. Green ketchup.
Purple ketchup.
Blue.
Purple. Green and purple ketchup.
Green and purple
yes.
ketchup. Blue
What's
and pink butter. It doesn't make any sense, you know?
Well, is green poop a better fertilizer than brown poop? Do we know? Have we?
Do we know?
Have we examined the scientific breakthrough? Broken down.
Is green. Human feces better at fertilizing than animal feces?
That's true.
Well, the Martian, he was able to grow
yes.
Matt Damon.
With his
potato plants.
With his own poop?
With his own poop
and
the poop that was left
astronauts.
Over from the astronauts
yes.
on the mission.
That's gross.
He was able to fertilize plants
and
actually create a habitat.
Probably is accurate.
Oh, that's,
no,
I think
I'm
that's
sure
accurate.
That's
yeah.
accurate. But that's crazy town. I have not seen The Martian yet, so I did not know that.
It's a great film. It's just not...
it's okay.
There's a lot of parts that obviously could be cut out, at least 20, 30 minutes worth.
Jeff
and the
Daniels
humor
could
be cut down.
Cut?
At least
like
trimmed down.
I like Daniels, though.
He's very selective in roles for me. Like
really?
It's either make or break.
I've wanted to watch the network or whatever
with Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've never
the
never
newsroom.
Got,
the newsroom.
Newsroom, yes, with Aaron Sorkin.
Not
right?
The network. The network was like a movie
I think
back
so.
In the 70s.
Well, Newsroom is definitely
I've
Jeff Daniels.
Had enough. I've had all I can take, and I can't take anymore. That was the network.
I've yet to see the network, but I trust.
All right. A topic that would probably pop up on the newsroom is Donald Trump running for president.
That sexy motherfucker right
Donald
there.
Donald Trump vows to win the 2016 presidential election.
And I believe
a celebrity, it doesn't matter.
But he represents radical change, yes. And he, I think, is just, if he's not going to win the presidency, I think he's just enough to where he's causing questions. With America.
He is causing questions,
which,
and he is asking the right questions, and that's
which is enough for me
sucks.
Because we're starting to finally
but
get
at
a little
the end
more
of the
engaged.
Day, he is a celebrity. He is not a real American. He does not live the American lifestyle that the you
he
know the average man
rich.
Is living.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, you know, you have to think about these other politicians. They're probably not leading these lives that the regular American person is living, but. Donald Trump has no idea. He has no idea what the real person needs, and he's got these unrealistic ideas of freaking immigration.
Yeah. Okay, with your strong views on Trump, do you think he's... I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories with Trump. I've heard that he's deliberately. Yes, thank you. sabotaging the Republican Party so he can kind of sharpen the image of the Democratic Party and the Independent Party.
Obviously, if that's the case, that would be freaking awesome.
So you agree with, if that is the case, that you're definitely okay with... Yeah,
if that's the case, he's trying to show this extremist point of view. He's
trying to bring out, like, a different...
Yeah, no, if he's trying to show, like, this is how much of an asshole y'all are looking like, that'd be great, but... If not, I think this country is in for a rude awakening if someone like him gets elected.
He was against guns, and that's a huge Republican support.
Well, the Republicans are literally 100% on those, their guns, if not 99.9% down with guns.
Right.
Being able to carry their weapons and having weapons. Donald Trump was against it. All of a sudden is he a Republican?
There's a lot of thoughts and like views that he's expressed through the last like 6 months where you can kind of take what he's doing as a... In a sense, sabotage.
I mean, we'll have to see. That'd be a crazy twist.
I mean, yeah, that would be amazing if
M. Night Shyamalan couldn't concoct that.
I mean...
At least not in the last 15 years, am I right? Hold on.
Hey, look.
High five.
Signs was in the last 15 years.
Well, you know, a lot of people dislike Signs. How about you put a fucking tin foil hat on and go fucking outside and see if the aliens...
It was a great film. It was a great family drama.
Yeah, it was so great that we needed M. Night Shyamalan's acting to really, really push it over the edge.
You know
right?
what? He's a great actor.
Anyway, moving on, what's the next topic?
Oh, the next topic. Well, if we're going to talk about M. Night Shyamalan, let's move into Bollywood.
Bollywood, where we figured out finally that our demographic is...
We found out that Podomatic, the second biggest chunk of listeners, comes from India.
So, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if that's Indian. Hey,
excuse me. We don't need that.
I like curry pigeons.
I want to keep the Indian audience, so let's go ahead and talk about our favorite performance from an Indian actor.
It has to be the tiger from,
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi, yes. I was going to say Slumdog Millionaire, but all those Indians look alike.
That tiger did so much acting,
Richard
right?
Parker.
Richard Parker was, I think, the
greatest Indian actor to come out.
I think the boy was a little better of an actor.
Oh, Dev Patel.
What about the girl? Nope. What's the girl's name?
There was a girl in Life of Pi?
Not in Life of Pi.
What about the fact that...
Millionaire Matchmaker.
Meyer Wolfsheim in The Great Gatsby was played by an Indian actor.
My boy!
What about the guy that plays Gandhi? He's great.
Ben Kingsley.
He's half Indian.
He is half Indian, and he's actually done a couple other Bollywood films.
Yes, Teen Patty.
Teen Patty, most notably.
And there's that really pretty actress who's that one lady with the light green eyes. She's like the most beautiful Indian actress in the world. I have no idea what her name is.
Is it the chick from Slumdog Millionaire?
No.
Selma Hayek's titties are 5 stars in Nick Offerman's book.
Mindy Kaling is one of my favorite people.
Mindy Kaling?
Mindy Kaling has...
I like her from
Life of Pi. Mindy Kaling. And, she's hilarious. She is someone that I think girls now can look up to.
She's a different like take on a female.
Yeah, she's like, got a different idea of the female norm.
Yeah, no disrespect to her, but she is a different look. She's funny, you know, she's Indian, obviously. Yeah. It gives a whole different perspective on female comedy, which I think Amy Schumer actually doesn't give to females.
Right, because she's the more average girl.
I think Amy Schumer goes for a lot of cheap laughs, like she tries to act like the dude and stuff like that a lot of the time, while mm-hmm. Mindy Kaling actually keeps the feminine...
Yeah, the feminine vibe. Realisticness of like, you know, I'm girly and I like girly
things.
She's
actually really funny. I mean, she was funny in This Is the End. She was funny in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
She's funny in The Mindy Project.
Mindy Project, which is ending, though, unfortunately, right?
They put it on Hulu.
Hulu picked it up, and it's going to continue on Hulu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Good for her, because I know it ended.
It ended on Fox.
Yeah, Fox canceled or whatever.
It had 3 seasons on Fox, and it never was as good as New Girl, unfortunately, which is,
Zooey Deschanel, yeah, for everybody's keeping notes.
The Manic Pixie Dream Girl, which all dudes love.
I'd lick Zooey Deschanel's
goodies.
She's not her that butt. Great.
I look her butt.
Zooey Deschanel's not that great.
She's good in Yes Men. Good. Good in Elf.
She's okay. I like Zooey Deschanel for sure. Like, I definitely think she is.
She's not a good actress.
She's a decent actress.
She's a decent actress, but she's a good actress in what she's been in. I think that's, like, this consensus. But
she's never had a role where I've gone, 500 Days of Summer. That's worthy.
500 Days of Summer is pretty good.
Well, she never really shows any range. She's just really kind of funny, usually
the same character, more or less.
She's just a manic piece of dream.
I'll give you that. So, Mindy Kaling, would you tap that?
Most deaf. She's super cute, and she's got...
Really?
She's got all those curves, and I bet she's, like, a super freak. Big girls have more fun, man.
I know there's a female president. I hate to be so crude, but do you think her pussy smells like curry?
I dated a girl once whose vagina
smells like curry. I've done some things with that same girl, and I've encountered the curry smell.
She might end up being an important law figure, so we won't mention her name.
But her pussy did...
If she becomes famous, we'll drop her name. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to ruin her life.
At that curry point.
Curry pussy. Can we get that trending, guys?
She had no self-respect.
Hashtag curry pussy. Let's get that going. Let's get that going tonight. Let's see if that...
She had no boundaries.
Yeah, I'm honestly...
Fine. Yeah.
But anyway. The thing is you really have to wonder, what is she doing? What is she eating to make curry. Her goodies taste like...
Death. Is she rubbing curry on her, like,
is she eating lips? Curry that
Maybe
much?
She I was mean, like, who orange eats that much chicken curry? On the...
Would that make it...
Asian chicken. Would that be more of an Asian, like, feel to it? Would I expect a fortune cookie after she orgasms?
Right.
A fortune cookie.
You
will have a vagina that smells like curry.
You will one day have a better smelling vagina. It's like, you know, we could only hope. But anyway, your next topic...
That pussy smells like curry.
Let's go back to an old topic. Our long gestating Rush Hour 4 project.
Yes, where we decided to finally, you know, kind of indulge our love of the Rush Hour series, and where we're going to have our own
The
podcast.
Rush Hour series is the buddy cop comedy of our generation. Yes. Lethal Weapon was for the 80s and the 90s. Rush Hour was for the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah, easily. I mean, when you got characters like
Ricky Tan!
And that giant guy, Asian guy. I mean, come on.
And let's not forget Jackie Chan.
And let's not forget Roman Polanski, who's a fucking fugitive.
Roman Polanski. Who raped a 13-year-old girl.
13-year-old raped.
And was in Rush Hour 3. That was ballsy.
What do you mean, in Rush Hour 3?
Roman Polanski is a famous director.
Right, no, I know who he is.
His wife was killed by Charles Manson and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, that crazy shit, and then he fucks
a
girl.
And then, like,
a fugitive, right?
He's living in Rush Hour 3 and stuff like that, and he actually acted in Rush Hour 3.
All right, so here's my plot for Rush Hour 4. Carter and Lee, obviously Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
They made 3 Rush Hours?
Yes. Now, hold on, I'm getting to my Rush Hour 4.
Honestly, they should make
my Rush Hour 4 promise. All right, Carter and Lee... There's a new threat in town called ISIS. ISIS is becoming a bigger threat. So Carter and Lee,
ISIS is taking over the Middle East.
The help of a former enemy to help take down ISIS. Now, what former enemy has enough power to try and take down ISIS?
Well, Ricky Tan, obviously.
Obviously, Ricky Tan.
But Ricky Tan.
So Carter and Lee team up not only with Ricky Tan.
Did not. Ricky Tan die in Rush Hour 2.
He survives the fall.
So he's under, like, a witness protection.
Witness protection.
I see where you're going with
this. So he survives.
I see where you're going with
this. So they enlist the help of Ricky Tan.
Ricky Tan!
Ricky Tan!
Also, Don Cheadle's character in Rush Hour 2.
The man who was, like...
So we get some star power going.
Okay.
All right?
So we have War Machine.
And now, they take on ISIS.
Okay.
And they say that... You can't spell crisis without ISIS.
Dang, that is poetic.
I usually am a sucker for bad jokes, guys. I'm talking to you, the audience, personally here. I'm usually a sucker for the cheap humor here, but I don't see how ISIS and crisis is... is a laughable matter. And this comes from the guy who thinks Jewish jokes and the black market's an actually African American market. So I don't know. I think Harry needs to tone his jokes up. I think he needs to really evaluate his level of comedy.
I think Rush Hour 4 is a promising plot.
And I don't think your comedy is a promising
plot. Carter and Lee and Ricky Tan and Don Cheadle's character.
So you want a cyborg Ricky Tan, basically.
No, I want an actual Ricky Tan. I want Ricky Tan to come back.
But Ricky Tan, like, flew out the window or some shit.
But he's alive. And maybe he can be played by Jet Li this time. Maybe we amp up the Ricky Tan character.
You want a bolder Ricky Tan.
Yes, I do.
You know, Ricky Tan killed Jackie Chan's father.
He did. And that'd be emotional depth. We could explore that. It could be the Shawshank Redemption of our time.
So, is what you're saying, since obviously the only other black person in Shawshank Redemption was Morgan Freeman, are you basically saying Chris Tucker would take on the Morgan Freeman role?
He might narrate the film.
Look, Lee was really in a tough time going through the Ricky Tan father murder, and, like, we needed Ricky Tan's help, so basically I had to talk Lee into really, you know, look, Ricky has... Basically, Ricky had the connections that we needed to really take down Thanos.
All right, so basically, my whole idea for the new Rush Hour film, obviously it's been a while since the last one, but basically my idea would be putting Carter and Lee. Basically putting them two against, maybe even putting Cyborg Ricky Tan in there, against Thanos. Putting them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Having them, you know, flow off Iron Man, Captain America. Having them pop up, maybe in an after credits scene. We need Joss Whedon's vision for the Rush Hour crew. We need the Rush Hour crew to be in more. You know, we need to see them on the big screen in different capacities.
So you're saying throw in Jackie Chan and...
Chris Tucker
into the Marvel Cinematic
playing their
universe.
Roles from the Rush Hour movie.
All right. That'd be pretty cool. You know, that could bring in a whole other
We could add in Jackie Chan's
We could even possibly throw out the idea to Netflix getting their own series.
Yeah.
There is a Rush Hour TV show being developed.
You know.
We don't talk about that here.
From the creator of Scrubs and Cougar Town, Bill Lawrence.
He's doing what?
Rush Hour TV show.
I'm gonna politely.
What would be a Rush Hour TV show? I mean, what would happen? They'd have a different.
Lee! Such a black man's radio!
Never such a black man's radio! Keep on!
Don't stop! Keep on!
All right.
Well, speaking of people who've worked with Chris Tucker, F. Gary Gray, director of Friday, also more recently the director of Straight Outta Compton,
which is one of the best films of this year,
is now rumored to direct two major films, Furious 8, obviously the eighth installment in the Fast and Furious franchise, and Black Panther, an important Marvel film because it will feature their first black protagonist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
Well, that's really interesting. That's cool.
Harry is choked on his Coney Island root beer. As he finishes his coughing, I'm going to formulate an answer to his F.
It went down the wrong tube.
Basically, how I felt Rush Hour 3 went down the wrong tube. I didn't think it was a great sequel to that.
All right, well, F. Gary Gray.
I was getting to the F. Gary Gray because the African-American approach. Anyway, F. Gary Gray, I really enjoyed Friday. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Straight Outta Compton immensely. I thought
he was a director for hire until I saw Straight Outta Compton.
No, Straight Outta Compton was very...
So far, through this year, if we could nominate 5 directors for Best Director, he would be one of them.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
Straight Outta Compton was great.
It was a unique film, I mean, at the time. I mean, it comes out, you know, kind of in a weird spot during the summer, and, like, it just kind of, like... It really just takes over social media. It takes over, like, audiences. It's made a lot of money, and honestly, there's a lot of good talk about it. So I think F. Gary Gray is in the right situation.
His direction was fine in the film, yeah. Especially considering he had a mostly unknown cast.
He did he not do Italian Job?
He did do Italian Job.
So basically, he was kind of lined up back in the day to be the next big director.
I never saw Italian Job, but I heard it was a fun action film.
It's a fun action,
yeah,
completely.
I have no doubt he can handle the Furious franchise, because Straight Out out of Compton, he did a great job directing. As I said, so far, he'd be top five direction of the year.
I enjoy the cinematography, and they, yes, they can carry that over to like another Furious,
and imagine Fast and Furious movie. His like, think of the opening scene with the drug bust with Eazy-E.
Oh, I love that. Loved it.
Imagine him directing an action sequence in Furious.
It looks good. It looks good, and obviously he understands, like, you know, the process, so
I'm and then totally also, for it. If he directed Black Panther, he can only pick one, though, because they're going to film around the same time. Yeah. So it's probably going to come down to him choosing which one, because I'm sure they all want him after Stranded at Compton was such a surprise hit. But Black Panther, if I could pick which one he would direct...
Furious.
No, I would say Furious. Furious 8.
Furious 8.
Furious 8, because he'll get more freedom.
Yes.
Where Marvel has, it's Kevin Feige, right?
And you still have the room in the Furious franchise to make that money. Because we've seen in previous times, you know, obviously Paul Walker dying, obviously.
Yeah.
Get and a little bit more money, but that franchise has always made money, and that's the bottom line of that.
F. Gary Gray will challenge himself because he has to make a new film without Paul Walker.
That's
It'll
true.
Be the first film.
It's a whole different, like, franchise.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be successful.
Are
I
they planning on making more movies after this one for the Furious?
They've planned up to 10.
I think. That's what I always figured when they announced like 4, 5, and 6. I always thought they were going to just end it with 10, and they pretty much announced that.
Which is crazy. That's so
like one more like trilogy.
Yeah.
But I'd be down for F. Gary Gray. I think he's proven himself a couple times now. I mean, obviously,
well, yeah,
Stranded
on Compton was great. I mean, just showing the grit and the, you know, the rawness of, like, that time period.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And the rawness of Eazy-E.
And you gotta realize, too,
the rawness of Eazy-E.
These are relative unknown actors.
And a woman's vagina.
Yeah.
Because he went in raw. That's why he got AIDS. He went in raw.
How fucking dare you, honestly? A case could be made that, you know, Suge Knight planted, you know, maybe somebody to stab him with.
Oh, don't you dare get into
that. That's true.
Don't you get into that.
There's a lot of theories.
Why would Ice Cube even put in the film, "Oh, man, you've been fucking all those women without the rubbers."
Yeah, but he also fucked around with Suge Knight when he actually owned the company that owned Dr. Dre, when Suge Knight was actually trying to get Dr. Dre for his label, when they were trying to make their own label, okay. Death Row Records. So a case could be made that Suge Knight was as crazy as they made him out to be.
No.
And okay, moving on, though, I think consensus is F. Gary Gray will be a fine director for either Black Panther or...
I think he'll go with Furious 8.
I personally think that as well.
It's Universal, he'll stay in company.
And I think he'll have a little bit more freedom.
Yeah.
Because obviously...
You always want to build up with the company.
With Black Panther, you're entering the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which already has, like, guidelines and stuff like that.
And they don't give directors too much respect.
There's not big directors that have directed.
No.
Besides Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau left.
And he left. So
Joss Whedon has now said he doesn't want to take part in it.
There's
anymore.
Not...
They don't have the same
for
respect for directors.
Because it's not a director-based
Warner Brothers,
film.
Which is making the DC films, is giving their directors creative freedom. They've stated
because they're picking
the
ones that
are
actually fans and have actually proven themselves in that category. I mean, Zack Snyder has done Watchmen.
Yep.
I mean, that's a pretty big, like, you know, Watchmen was my favorite comic
and
book.
Granted, not every movie is going to come out great when you give directors creative freedom, but you'll get the exceptional ones. You won't get the standard films. You'll get the exceptional ones.
But they're fans.
Because they're directors who have a vision. Marvel has no vision. It is a unified, it's made off an assembly line. Each film feels the same for the most part.
It has that same, like, continuous humor-based film structure.
Where with The Flash, hopefully we get humor. You know, like Batman v Superman, hopefully it's serious. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyways... Moving on, in the state of Florida, which we live in, Florida, the House has passed a law which will allow open carry licenses for weapons, which means you can walk into a store with your gun showing, and that's legal. How do y'all feel about this?
I mean, so when you initially brought this up, it is a... scary idea at the end of the day to know that someone is carrying a gun on them. But is it as scary to know that they're carrying a gun on them when you can see it or think they could be carrying a gun on them?
But to be fair, we can't jump in the minds of these people. You know, all
that's
people.
True. These people
and
that carry guns on them just
they kind of act how
it's
they
like,
want to act. I mean,
well,
obviously.
Yeah, and it's just like it's almost like a culture thing.
I don't think it's a really good choice at all. Obviously, given
obviously at the end of the day,
all the
very
shootings
anti-guns
and stuff like that.
Anti, you know, anger and all that stuff. I hate that shit. I hate the fact that you can get a gun at Walmart for fucking probably like
$50. Talked about this before, and it really boggles my mind to the fact that you can literally get all these guns at the counter of a Walmart. Right. Walk out, have like 2-3 guns on you.
Yeah, you're good. Like no big deal. Like not even a question.
They don't
asked.
Do any
it's
like
ridiculous. I think that's crazy.
To me, I don't know what their process is on like doing background searches and stuff like that. But I can't imagine Walmart actually taking a valid background search when they're like just giving out guns left and right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think giving permission as a citizen who lives in Florida, giving permission to somebody who can carry a gun is any benefits of this country given to what we've seen over the past 2 years. I mean, we've seen a lot of like
mass shootings. See the necessity in the privilege of having your gun out. Like, why do you need to display the fact that you own a gun?
Because there's no need. It's a
there
fact
is
of
no
showing
need. It's like showing how big your dick is on.
Yeah, honestly. And
it's like this weird manly, no offense, pride thing that is like, oh, I've got to show what I'm working with.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, you don't need to show that. You just need to be like...
It's an intimidation tactic.
Right. Like,
it really
you just
is.
Need to be confident in the fact that, like, I could take care of business without this deadly weapon.
I'm honestly someone who supports the right for someone to own a weapon because it's in the Constitution, and I don't like to mess with that because you start messing with one part of the Constitution, you start messing with all.
Well, I mean,
but
that's a whole different argument.
Open carrying is completely different. Like, if I walk into a store and I see someone walking after me and I see they have a gun, I'm going to get the fuck out. Like,
yeah,
I'm
not. I'm honestly not going to
I don't care if they're sane or not.
I'll leave.
If I know they're holding a weapon, how do I know they're not going to snap at that moment?
Well,
so
that's what it comes down to.
It's
going
to be bad for business.
It's actually limiting us to actually, you know, sit as citizens. When do we know when there's going to be a shooting? Because now we're going to be limiting people to, like, actually carrying it on them. How are we supposed to know when we see a gun? All right.
Yeah, we should be afraid of it.
We should leave and get out of the situation.
It, you know, it's
we're
like
gonna,
the...
We're
the
being they're actually making it more
wolf.
Easier for people to actually commit these crimes
right.
because people are going to start not looking at people who have guns on them.
Right, but then in the weird, you know, some people have the idea that it's like, oh, if we make it super available, people won't want it, you know? And then it goes to the whole, like, alcohol or cigarettes or weed or drugs, you know?
You
got to
look at
like
other countries,
argument.
Though, at this point. I mean, there's a lot of countries, and, like, you can look at this for yourself. They don't have the same type of gun laws that we
mm-hmm.
do, and they have literally
less,
next to no criminals.
Right.
Yes, they
and
do.
Like less
and that's countries with, like, that don't allow guns at all.
And I'm not saying
right.
we shouldn't allow guns, because at this point in time, we're a big enough country, obviously, maybe even a continent at this point, by ourselves.
Right.
We can't limit guns. But we can try our best to maybe have just maybe one gun apiece.
I mean, regulations would be nice.
I mean, at least something. I mean, there's
well,
no stricter
regulations.
The thing
yes.
is that they think they have regulations on gun control and all that
but
shit.
But until
they have
regulations that include, say, not having a person like, own a gun who has someone in the same house with a mental disorder. Because let's go over the Adam Lanza example, the guy who shot up Sandy Hook Elementary.
Let me interrupt you real quick. You can go through any example.
Yeah.
And it's the same
Sandy Hook Elementary,
yeah.
Adam Lanza, where'd he get his gun? His mom. He took his mom's gun, who had it legally, shot her dead, and went and shot up a whole bunch of
but
kids.
The problem is...
Had she not been allowed a gun because of the fact that her son who lives with her has a mental disorder, that whole incident would have been prevented.
There needs to be a lot stricter regulation on gun control. I'm not saying people don't deserve to have a gun. That's not what I'm saying. People can have the guns, but, like, if you're...
Mm-hmm.
Why does a 20-year-old need 14 guns? And this is
right.
the example I'm given because of the Oregon shooting. He's a 20-year-old kid. What purpose does he have to owning 14 guns?
And why in the world was a 14-year-old when 18-year-olds who are legally adults in this country who are not allowed to buy alcohol, why are 14-year-olds allowed to have a gun when an 18-year-old can't even buy alcohol?
I think you misunderstood Nick. He said a 20-year-old had 14 guns.
Yes.
Oh.
Not a 14-year-old had
well,
14.
Well,
I've
had a
right,
lot of
she's
wine.
She's on the right point. She's had a bottle of wine, guys. Anyway,
yeah, a whole
she's on the right,
bottle on my own. wrong.
She's on a right point, but basically the thought
well,
is
well, a 20-year-old and 18-year-old, just kidding. My point was moot.
She's had a lot. But anyway, the point being is, honestly, kids get a hold of these guns, too. And, like, there has to be a certain point here where either, you know, we regulate because of maybe kids in the house, we regulate because there's mental disorders in the house.
Yeah.
But there has to be some sort of regulation here that actually prevents people who are sick and who are not capable or honestly should not own a gun, should not own a gun.
One of my friends, Tyler Cole, normally doesn't have the best of ideas.
Usually never.
But when it comes to guns, he did have a good idea. Gun insurance. He said it would make people think twice about guns. Because you'd have to pay an insurance on it just like you would a car. So it'd make you think, do I really need this gun? And that would prevent a lot of crime. Because if you make a gun insurance, the people who would think twice about, oh, do I really want to do this shooting? Because I have to.
But do you think with that rationale, do you think somebody who was like a Sandy Hook, somebody who's like the Oregon Community College shooter, do you think those are actually thoughts that are going through their mind? Or do you think, I just want a gun so I don't give a shit what I'm going to say to get this gun?
Well, in the case of the guy who did the Charleston shooting, it might have prevented it. It might have prevented, because he got his gun legally. But had there been an insurance fee on it, would he have been as likely to buy that gun? Because you'd have to go through the process of insurance. It's the same reason why, look at, there's not many shootings that occur at theme parks, even though they're all overpopulated
God
areas.
God forbid, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. But do I really want to pay $100 to get into a fucking theme park to do a shooting?
When Watch I your do fucking language, free? First of all.
All right.
Second of all, continue your thought.
All right. But all I'm saying is, like, if there was an insurance fee on it, it would not only cover victims' families, but... You know, I think the shooter would think twice before purchasing the gun.
It would give a little bit more of a thought process
it would.
To it, yeah. I just think, look, I'm not against people having guns. I really am not. But, again, there just needs to be some sort of, background check.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's, like, a person's right to own whatever they want. And if that's a gun, that's a gun. But, you know, the fact that it's so easy for
anybody
in this freaking country to get a gun.
Anybody over the age of 18 will get a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
If they want one.
Anybody who
and
wants a
wrong.
Gun can get a gun.
Except felons. They can't, but...
Well, felons, I mean, obviously made their choice early in life.
Even mental disordered people can get a gun, and that's just... Yeah. That's where the problem is.
Yeah, I mean, there's no... Just no... There's no back... I mean, there's probably a background search, but there's not a background search where there's an actual... Like, search into history, family history, mental history.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Exactly.
So.
But, you know, moving on from the gun topic, we'll get to splat.
So, woo!
Yeah. Splat, like me taking a dump and, like, splat.
No.
In a toilet.
I was thinking you having a gun going splat.
And making, you know...
Your brains.
Brain splatter.
Yeah,
on the wall.
But okay. Anyway.
Oh, I respect
that. So, splat...
Yes.
...is the time slot dedicated to 90s... Nickelodeon TV shows.
What channel is that on?
It's on, what is it called?
Nick
Teen or something like
that? Yeah, it's a Nickelodeon channel.
It's
basically
TV or Teen
similar
Nick.
To
it's
Adult similar to Adult Swim, basically.
Yeah,
it's
the
a time
channel. Name. It's the channel that Degrassi's on.
Yeah, like Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Nick 2.
It's now, Teen Nick.
Teen Nick.
Do you think, and I might be going out on a limb here, but do you think Jurassic World had a hand in all this 90s nostalgia movement lately?
No.
No.
Not
no?
at all.
I definitely think the whole nostalgic throwing it back thing has been happening.
But I think Jurassic World's record-breaking numbers showed that the 90s nostalgia has an audience.
I don't necessarily
the film was not
that
great. It relied purely on 90s nostalgia.
No, but I don't even think that's the... I don't even think Jurassic World has anything to do with the whole nostalgia aspect. I think it's just been, like...
Nostalgia in general?
Yeah, I just think people have been, like, with trends in fashion and just the world, like, just... Things have been happening where people are thinking back to that time
now,
period.
Now, before we start continuing to discuss this, the Splat TV program on Nick Teen is basically... all 90s Nickelodeon TV shows played from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Which is crazy talk.
It includes cartoons like Doug, Hey Arnold, Rugrats, and then live-action shows like Clarissa Explains It All, Are You Afraid of
the Dark? And the game shows from Nick Gass, which was my favorite time.
Double Dare. Double
and
Dare.
Legends of the Hidden Temple, my favorite.
Figure It Out. Yep. All those great classics.
It's everything 90s Nickelodeon that you can remember, if you do remember. And
if you don't remember, go fuck yourself, all right? Because this is a 90s kids podcast, motherfucker.
Calm down. If you
fuck off, because Hey Arnold was a fucking vision.
I mean, yes,
a fucking vision.
If you don't remember, just check out the splat.
Yeah, football head.
On Nick Team. That's all. Just check out the splat on Nick Team. 10 p.m., 6 a.m. every week.
And believe me, Angry Beavers was a double entendre.
Hey Arnold was the crowning achievement of 90s Nickelodeon.
All right. Rocco's Modern Life.
So let's go over our favorite 90s Nickelodeon cartoon, and then we'll go for live action. But let's start with cartoon. Nick, go ahead.
I was a big Rocco's Modern Life.
Rocco's Modern Life?
When I think back to Nickelodeon, I think back to when I was like, 3, 4, 5 years old. Even a little bit older, just kind of at the end of it all. It's always Rocco. It's always Rocco. It's always this little, and Rocco is the guys who created SpongeBob.
Right.
It is.
It's like the precursor to SpongeBob.
Tom Kenny, who voices SpongeBob, was also Heifer.
Yeah, you see, which was the cow, his friend Rocco. Mm-hmm. That was my personal favorite.
What'd you love about it?
It was just, I felt like there was a lot of adult humor as a child that I didn't understand. I think that got me more hooked because I was like, I don't understand what exactly is fully going on.
Okay.
But there was a lot of stereotypes. I mean, the turtle was obviously Jewish. He was very whiny.
He was.
He wanted money, obviously. I mean, how much more of a Jew can you get?
All right.
But basically, I could tell from a young age there were more of adult themes going on. So I always enjoyed that. Okay. And if I had a live action show that I really enjoyed, it would obviously be what was the one where the girl would melt into like a liquid or something?
I remember that.
I feel like I know what you're
Alex
talking
Mack
about.
Alex Mack or something?
Alex
oh,
Mack.
Yeah.
It was Alex Mack.
Alex Mack, was
it? Called Alex Mack?
It was Alex Mack.
So basically,
it was something. It was like the secret life of
secret
Alex
life
Mack
of Alex
or something
Mack
like
that. Yeah, and she would kind of liquefy.
Yeah,
and
there's actually talks of a film happening that was Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
Yes.
I'd actually be down because mostly because I love ScarJo's tits and ass. I would love to just get into that.
Who wouldn't want a piece of that?
Well, I loved all that stuff.
Right, calm down. Let's go.
My favorite would have been.
Yeah, what's your favorite cartoon?
Yes.
Move
yes.
on to live action.
Yes.
My favorite would have been Rugrats, obviously a classic. It's got all the characters. You got Phil, Lil, Tommy, Dill, Chucky, Angelica.
Don't forget Betty Dyke.
Betty Dyke. Hey there, Chuckster.
Obviously, her last name wasn't Dyke, but Betty was the mother of Phil and Lil. And I actually saw recently on a Facebook photo after an inside joke me and Nick made about Betty being a dyke that it was the picture was titled "The 90s Cartoon Dykes," and it was a whole bunch of cartoon characters that were dykish, and Betty did appear on it.
Oh, well, Betty was obviously.
Well, she
a dyke.
Was all into girl power. She had the female symbol on her sweatshirt.
I'm gonna be perfectly real.
Stuff.
For a long time as a kid, I didn't know if Phil or Lil was a boy or a girl.
Right,
I didn't know which
you
one
didn't
was
know which. Was
so.
Which. Exactly. And that was the kind of cool thing about it.
I think that kind of goes along with the feminization of America. I think the Illuminati is trying to make the male species diminish.
All right.
They're really trying to
keep that thought to yourself.
You really think the male species is trying to be diminished and not the female?
Look at the male population. We just talked about Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, how much more
just because being a woman is
Harry doesn't want to talk about this because he's obviously a part of the Illuminati. And if anybody wants to talk more about this, email us at boldstatementspodcast@AOL.com, please.
Loco Pan, go ahead and continue with your favorite cartoon of the 90s and why.
Well, like I was saying, the Rugrats, because it had all the nostalgia of being like a child and the imagination and the dreaming that you come with being a little kid. And then it was really crazy just to think about being a baby and all these things that you did as a child that when people didn't actually know your parents didn't realize what you were doing, but you were a baby and you were talking and you were doing all sorts of crazy stuff. It was just great, you know? And then you've got the toddler. Well,
you got that Angelica. Fucking cunt Angelica.
Yeah, you got the toddler's Angelica that tells them how to, you know, be babies and grow
Susie
up.
Susie Carmichael.
It's super cool. It was great. I loved Rugrats.
What about your favorite live action Nickelodeon show of the 90s?
My favorite live action show of the 90s would have been Figure It Out, to be honest with you. It was always the easiest one for me. I always liked the fact that I could figure it out. that was my favorite part. I always liked to see. I really like getting to know actors, their real selves.
Let's be honest, though. The kids who came on that fucking show had the worst fucking talents.
Right. They had stupid bullshit talents to be
I remember
honest.
I was watching
obviously.
One recently back. I mean, this is like 10, 15 years ago, but I finally watched one again. And the kid's talent was fucking eating cheese into the shapes of fucking states. And let me tell you,
he only had the left corner left.
He did a Florida one, of course.
Florida.
Yeah, the Florida one was legitimately awful. He literally just made an L out of the piece of cheese. And how the hell?
And
could
that was a talent.
I mean, right. Fuck his talent.
He gets to go. He got to go to like fucking Aspen.
Yeah, he got to go to like do a ski
Aspen
trip.
Or something
I'm sure he got a fucking
that.
N64. I don't. Yeah. I mean, for God's
he got
sake.
A box of nerds.
Yeah, a box
sure.
of nerds.
All right. If I were to say my favorite 90s Nickelodeon cartoon, not to do a cop out. And I won't, but I'll just do it as what I would pick. SpongeBob started in 1999.
Oh,
and that would
fuck
be my favorite.
Off.
It would be my favorite. But if I were to pick a more of a 90s themed cartoon, it would be Hey Arnold. I loved Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold!
It wasn't exactly the funniest show, but it had the most emotional episodes.
I did love
it. There was a Christmas episode where Mr. Wynn, one of the tenants in Arnold's boarding house, talked about his daughter. And how much, like, he just wished to see her because of they got separated in the Vietnam War. And
oh my God.
Arnold went out and, tried to... He got these shoes that Helga G. Pataki had actually purchased the last of. So, Helga, because she liked Arnold, ended up giving Arnold...
Helga wanted that Arnold dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did. But she ended up giving Arnold these shoes because Mr. Wynn's daughter wanted these shoes, and it was a way for them to get reunited. Now, what other cartoon dealt with shit like the Vietnam War and
that's
a parent getting dealt with their daughter getting separated?
Obviously, the Flintstones.
Right.
Okay, sure.
And the Jetsons.
But let's not forget the last, like, episode of Hey Arnold, which was about Arnold's parents getting lost and how they
plane.
Had to leave Arnold... with the grandparents. And that was the last episode. And once again, this cartoon show dealt with more emotional issues. And the episode was actually leading into a Hey Arnold movie, but the movie plot got scrapped in favor of what was Hey Arnold the movie, which was just a movie about a shopping mall.
So basically what you're telling me is nowadays cartoons just don't have the same heart.
They don't have the
Hey Arnold, you know,
had
the
depth.
Dramatic.
Yeah, there was
Hey
Arnold. There was a lot. There was, like, even Stoop Kid was a kid that got made fun of and just stayed on his stoop. Like, he stayed
maybe,
on his
maybe
stairs.
He should have tried a bit harder.
I mean, yeah, but it just it dealt with stuff that just
fuck
you
Stoop Kid,
see
honestly. Stoop Kid
fuck
fucking could have tried a little bit fucking
now
harder.
Now, my favorite live action Nickelodeon show of the 90s, hands down, Kenan and Kel.
Oh, true.
I always loved
Welcome
it.
Good Burger, home of the Good Burger.
I love Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell.
Yes.
They were great. Loved
and their
all
and
that.
Their love
loved
of Arnold.
Good Burger. But yes, Kenan and Kel, love that show.
And they did a Headless Horseman movie too.
They did Kenan and Kel. It was their like horror
for
movie.
Halloween
yep.
special,
it was a haunted special.
Yep. Like, that
was
like terrifying.
Because
scary.
I remember they were. It was called Kenan and Kel. Two Heads Are Better Than None.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I remember
there was
watching
the giant
that.
Rubber
oh
band
my God,
ball
yes.
that they got, they were running away
yes.
from. There was also the part where Kel, they were telling ghost stories, and Kel told a toast story.
Because he thought ghost and
yes,
toast.
Which I probably found funny as a kid, but if I were to watch it now, I'd be like, God, this is awful.
Yes, yes, yes. But basically, yes, Kenan and Kel
yes.
would be one of my favorites as well.
For sure. Moving on to sports, there was the Vikings-Denver Broncos game.
And I understand why you bring this up, because you like to gloat in the Vikings fans' face, because obviously I'm a Vikings fan, and they lost the Denver Broncos. But I'm going to tell...
Wasn't it the game of the week?
It was on Fox. It was a 4 o'clock game in Denver. And
if you could call it a game.
Well, I would like to call it a game since, you know, Minnesota over the last 5 years hasn't been a quality football team. Yet, you know, we've taken some turns over the past few years, and we really held our own with Denver. I mean, it came down to the last play of the game, which the Vikings had the ball in over the 50-yard line, and it was a sack fumble by Denver. So I think it was, you know, there's no moral victories in the NFL. You know, you hate to say a moral victory, but I think this was one of those moral victories. I think it was a time, a dawning of a time where the Vikings finally took their turn into prominence. So, as a Vikings fan, I mean, we lost. We're 2-2 at this point in the season. We're going into a bye week. I think it was a really good turn of events for us. I think it was a good showing for us, and maybe turn some heads finally into saying, hey, we're actually a contender.
Okay.
So, yeah, your thoughts on your fucking Dolphins sucking it up.
Well, they fired their head coach,
I thought. Joe Philbin is fired.
Well,
I don't know his name offhand, but
I gave up on the NFL a long time ago because I'm a Dolphins fan, and they haven't been good in years, and it's just discouraging at this point.
Which I respect. But as, you know, a football fan, I know they kind of hired within after you fire your head coach. Is apparently their head coach now, the Dolphins, is like 39 years old, which is like the youngest head coach of all time or something.
Well, I'm frustrated with it. Were you frustrated with the Vikings loss?
Honestly, look, as a Viking fan, I've been watching football a long time now. I'm 22 years old now. I watched football a long, long time. And we've had our times as a Viking fan. We've had our times where we've looked really good. I mean, through, like, you know, the Culpepper times, through the Brett Favre times. But, like, you know, finally we have a team here that has, like, a young squad that actually can compete with the Peyton Mannings, compete with the Tom Brady's. And honestly, I don't see why, if not this year, why we can't be a force to reckon with over the next, like, 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
We all have young talent, and I think the Vikings could be one of those teams that finally break through.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm frustrated with. The fact that we're 7 months away from Captain America Civil War and X-Men Apocalypse, and we've had no teaser trailer. But the ultimate frustration, we're about 2 months and 2 weeks away from Star Wars The Force Awakens, and we still haven't had a theatrical trailer.
Oh, which is so frustrating.
I think the biggest problem with us not getting a theatrical trailer is because we haven't heard any dialogue from the film.
We haven't heard any dialogue from the main characters.
That's true.
How do we know they're not shitty actors?
I mean, look, well, Star Wars movies have been good, but they've never been known for their acting.
They have not been known for their acting.
And,
but in this day and age, I think you need good acting.
But at this point, dude, like, I mean, the film's coming out in December. It's October. Second week of October coming in here.
Yeah, and we still haven't had a theatrical trailer. We've just had two teasers.
I mean, there's
some
questions.
Normally, you have a theatrical trailer like 6 months prior to the film.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, six months Richard Pryor to the film.
Okay, sure, Richard Pryor. Ha ha ha.
That's a comedian joke. Why don't you go fuck yourself?
All right. Well, I would laugh, but unfortunately, I think Mike Epps is playing him.
That's not a laughing matter.
Yeah, that's not.
It's not a laughing family matter.
But anyways,
Family Matters being an African American sitcom. Anyway, going on with your thoughts.
Move Mike Epps. But anyway,
Mike Epps is African American. So well, it would. It's not a stretch since it's African American sitcom.
2 weeks away from Star Wars Awakens and no theatrical trailer.
Okay, yes, describe.
They're hiding the dialogue. Is it like, oh, John Boyega sucks as an actor?
John Boyega, who you're talking about, the character Finn.
What about Daisy Ridley? All we've seen from her is her looking up. Yeah, okay, she's a cute girl, but
we've seen some shots of Kylo Ren, right, which is
We want to see more from her than thinking, oh, well, it'd be nice if I got a blowjob from her.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. I mean, as H.M. Franklin's girlfriend, how do you feel about that comment?
Well, to be honest, those comments are not that
surprising. Does it question your ability to maintain a healthy relationship with him?
No, because I know he's not getting blowjobs from any other girls, so I'm not that worried.
At least not in this galaxy, right?
Right?
Lord?
Oh, goodness.
Because he mentioned Star Wars in a sexual... Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it has to shake your faith in your relationship, just a little bit.
I mean, no, not faith, necessarily. Those comments are just here you know, whatever.
He just talks a lot of shit, basically.
Yeah, he's a shit talker.
He's a shit talker. He so a lot of his...
Oh, I'm getting slandered here.
He talks a lot of smack. Well, you know.
And all right, let's get back to Star
his
Wars.
Bark is
yeah, of
a
course,
lot
get back to Star Wars
bite.
When your name's getting tarnished.
Slandered, yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
All I'm saying is we haven't heard Finn talk, we haven't heard Daisy talk, we haven't even heard Kylo Ren talk. How do we know Kylo Ren is in another Darth Maul? Speaks two lines and that's it.
I mean, Darth Maul, I mean, was a...
Darth Vader is obviously the most iconic film villain of all time, where Darth Maul is probably one of the most disappointing. Yeah, his look was cool, but he spoke two lines.
Agreed.
And then also, we're 7 months away from Captain America: Civil War and X-Men Apocalypse, and we still haven't.
I honestly thought going to see The Martian on the
which
day,
is produced by Fox,
which is a Fox yep. film. So I don't understand why we didn't get at least a teaser, for X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah. What's even Age crazier is, come on, like Civil War. Not
either they're saving something big for both X-Men Age of Apocalypse and Civil War, or they're just not comfortable with what they have, and yeah. they're holding it off from the audience because they don't want any
these are the
vibes coming from
the Disney right. films coming out for the end of the year. In October, we have Bridge of Spies, which
Tom
is
Hanks
Steven
movie.
Spielberg film with Tom Hanks. Doesn't look like it'll be crazy big, but I mean, it'll probably make decent money because of Spielberg. But then we also have Good Dinosaur and Force Awakens.
That's it?
Are we getting a Force Awakens trailer with Bridge of Spies?
I can't imagine.
Dinosaur?
I can't imagine. Good Dinosaur would be too late because it's less than a month
yeah.
away.
I mean, there'd be no really point.
And then
there.
Also, right. what about Civil War? Are we getting it? Are we get? We're not getting it.
I
Force
think,
Awakens.
At least on the Civil War topic, I think there's so much that goes into that film.
Yeah.
I think there's just so much that maybe they are holding off on releasing Carol. Not
they
because
to,
they're scared.
They have to at least release it with the Good Dinosaur in November.
Yeah, I don't think they're scared of what they have. It's just, like, there's so much
yeah.
to take in
and
in
I
that
mean,
film.
Same with Star Wars. At least right now, I've read, like, they're almost...
But Star Wars, you should at least have dialogue.
They're blue-balling us at this point.
You should at least
yeah.
have some dialogue.
We don't have anything. We don't have anything. We don't know what the plot is.
See, that's
is.
The problem I have with it.
Yeah.
There's just nothing I can really judge it off of, obviously, other than just having
I feel
a Star
Disney
Wars movie.
Is getting a little too, like, oh, it's Star Wars. It'll get people.
Yeah, you know it's going to get people. So
I mean,
we don't
it'll obviously
really...
make money, but if you want it to be record-breaking, you've got to...
You have diehard fans
campaign.
Out there who are, like, still waiting for
I'm
really a
pissed.
Premise.
Right.
I'm getting pissed.
Nobody really knows
yeah.
what's going on here. And, like,
right,
I mean,
you don't even know we don't even know what the real
and
story is.
I understand
is
the element of surprise in film. I understand that you want to maybe save some stuff for the film, but, like, you know, Star Wars is a different...
It's like a fucking word.
It's a different animal. So, like, why would you, in a sense, conceal so much
yes.
unless you're not comfortable with what you have?
I mean, I don't
right.
like concealing important plot points, but show us something.
There's not. There's no talking. In any
there's
of
not.
The footage released officially
no.
from the Star
and,
Wars
and,
guys,
and I'm
going to no
go
into
Force Awakens doubtful because John Boyega, as Finn, has not talked
he's
yet.
Only like,
he's only
heavy.
Breathed heavily, and it's been overacting
like just,
at this
he,
point.
Like he just got fucked in the ass or did a fucking in the ass.
All right. Well, I was just going to say he overacts, but...
I mean, he's cool. black, so obviously he'd be in jail. So
excuse
he did
me?
Some sort of sexual...
Excuse me? I don't know. What did you just say?
Huh? Moving on.
No, not moving on.
No,
you
I mean,
apologize for your comment.
No, he's black.
Apologize
he's obviously
going to
wind up
comment.
In jail.
This
go
has
go
been
apologize.
Bold statements with your host, Nick Osher, like Harry
apologize.
Montalvo.
Apologize.
And
it is not ending. It is not ending.